Old but I ain't cold.
In the book of Hebrews, going back there, chapter 4, the text that claims our attention for this first sanctuary service 2022. Meet me at verse number 14, Hebrews chapter 4. Begin our reading at verse number 14. Good to have another college student home with us this morning. Word of the Lord reads on this wise. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Say it again, it's a new year, a new thing. I want to talk to us this season from the subject Christian consistency, always the same. Christian consistency, always the same. And this morning, I want to talk to us from the subject, our constant help. Those that were with us on Watch Night service talked about consistency. Don't quit. Don't change. It's kind of a different kind of word at a season where most people consider change in order. People leading up to a new year, they get their minds to a position of change. They say, I want to do some things differently this year than I did last year. In this new year, I'm going to have a better eating habit. I'm going to have a greater exercise regimen. Help us, Jesus. I'm going to have more weight control. There are so many things that should change or might shift from what used to be to what we're looking forward to going on in this year. But on Friday night, the Lord said consistency. Mm-hmm. He says you've got to be consistent, don't quit, and don't change. Now, some of that stuff, I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about spiritually, you can't quit. And you cannot change.
Amen.
For we spent a whole year, I reminded them on Friday night, we spent a whole year connecting. We were connecting to the Christ. We connected to the cross. We connected to the church. And we connected to the community. Look, y'all, we were connecting to the Christ, the one who is able to save us, who gave his life to die that you might live. That we connected to that Christ. We connected to the cross of suffering, the cross of pain. I told them on Friday night that you had to embrace that cross so that when suffering and shame and pain come upon your life, it does not catch you by surprise. You are not surprised because you already know what it's all about.
Yes.
Jesus, in the midst of his dying hour, shed tears. He experienced pain. He even cried out to his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even Jesus, the Christ, was at that place, and we had to embrace the Christ. We had to embrace the church who Christ is the head of. We embrace the community that is, that we have to go down from these four walls to be a blessing outside of here, so that people can see that you don't just talk Jesus.
Come on, you live him. Come on.
It's not a movement of your mouth, but it's actions in your spirit, in your hands, to the glory and honor of God.
Come on.
Yeah, he said to us on Friday, he's still saying on Sunday morning, be careful not to disconnect. Don't change your connections with the Christ, with the cross, with the church, and with your community. So he says to us that we learn that there are so many things. The writer in Hebrews chapter 13, that's where we were on Friday night, he was pleading, urging with those professing Christians. You know, the people who say they are Christian. Those who are professing the Christian faith, he's urging them to prove their profession to be real. You got to prove to me that the stuff that you're saying is real. He says you got to prove it by your compassion. Mm-hmm. Your compassion to the saints and to the strangers and to the sufferers. You go back and get it. Y'all get it? He says you got to have Christian chastity. There has to be some Christian contentment. Got to be just content. I wish y'all, if you won't hear it, listen to the sermon. There has to be some Christian courage. The text says in Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That there has to be some courage, my brothers and sisters, that you can have that affirmation for yourself. The Lord is my helper. My bank account can't help me. My family won't help me. My friends have forsaken me, but the Lord is my helper.
Yes, Lord.
There's got to be some Christian consideration. You know, the Christians have to consider those Christian leaders that teach them. The ones who put before them their very own works and their very own lives, so that you can see how they are. Because the text says that we got to consider the end of their conversation.
That's right.
That is the issue of their life. That we've got to learn how to imitate their faith.
Come on now.
Yeah, we want to imitate them because they are shining examples for us that we should imitate them. And it was at verse number 8 that we had to learn that we must have Christian consistency. Those things cannot change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's one and never wavers, and he never changes. I give you all of that to set you up for where we are today, because it was there in chapter 13 that really we were being reminded of what was told to us in chapter 3 and in chapter 4.
That's right.
That we already have the help that we need.
That's right.
Because many people think that the struggles that they're going to make it very difficult for them to remain in their Christian posture. Some stuff, the pain is so great, we start saying other stuff out of our mouth. Words come out of our mouth that don't normally come out of our mouth. And people that are treating us badly, and we still don't know how to look at them and still love on them like God has called for us to do. Well, your help has shown up today.
Come on, come on.
It's a reminder there in the text that you got it. You got some help.
Amen.
It's here. And he says to us here in chapter 4. Right there in verse number 14, your help is in the name. Look at it. He said it's his name that you got to come to grips with. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Yeah, he says, well, first of all, he's talking about you got a high priest, a great high priest. This priest couldn't have come from David. No, because we don't use that child, Jesus, Son of David.
That's right.
No, he couldn't have come from Abraham. So he's not the son of Abraham. He is Jesus, the Son of God. Yeah, the Old Testament records the names of many of sons of Aaron, Jeremiah, Ezra, Ezekiel. But now there's a new name that has been added to the list, and it really eclipses all of them. Jesus, the Son of God.
Yeah,
he is a priest, y'all, of such caliber that the writer insists that we hold fast our profession. He's such a great a person to imitate that he says you've got to hold fast your profession, your confession of who he is. Mm. Yeah, you got to know who he is, or since you know him, hold on to him.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the man point for the Hebrew Christians for to confess Jesus as their great high priest, a call for some sharp changes from Judaism. But this priest who is our Jesus, he is truly human and can enter fully into human needs. He is the Son of God and is therefore truly divine, able to enter fully into the demands of deity. And there never was a priest like this before. Yeah, and in this day and time, when folks are proclaiming that he knows my name. Mm. Y'all heard them sing it. He knows my name. And they be singing it, and some of them just be dragging it out. They be saying, he knows my name. But the writer today and me up here today want to say to you, we want to know, do you know his name? He pushes pause in the text and gives us his name. He takes a whole verse for you to come to grips with who he really is. Yes, Jesus, Lord, the Son of God. Give him a little titles over here, but he says you've got to understand who he is. He is the Son of God. I'm talking about the help that has shown up for you to be able to handle your consistent walk, this consistent journey here through life with Jesus. Yeah, that's the help that you need. He says to us that there has to be some consistency, and I can tell you that you can start with the name of Jesus. He doesn't just start with Jesus. He does have to add the Son of God to clarify the power that comes with that name.
All right.
The power, the strength, the ability to do and be great comes in the name of Jesus. Yeah, that's something that we've got to hold on to, y'all. The name of Jesus. Not just his name, but there's some nearness that comes with that name. It's one thing if you just know the name and the name is over there. But I want to tell you that the name is right up close.
Amen.
And personal. It's close and personal because he doesn't just, we don't just need to know his name, because but he knows our nature. Look at the text. I'm there in verse 15. I ain't going to be before you long. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, Satan had attacked him in the wilderness with three temptations that brought about the fall. We talked about that in the midst of devotion period last week. With the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Yeah. In the garden, they was tempted with the lust of the eye when they saw the tree that was pleasant to the eyes. With the lust of the flesh when and they said that it was good for food. And with the pride of life, when they saw that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. And the Lord Jesus, y'all, was tempted with the lust of the flesh when urged to command these stones be turned to bread. With the lust of the eyes when Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And with the pride of life when he urged him to cast himself down from the temple. He fully knows temptation. Yeah, and it was not simply that the Lord Jesus was able not to sin.
Come on.
It went far beyond that. He was not able to sin.
Come on.
You see the text? He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now some people are able to sin and just don't sin. But Jesus wasn't even able to sin, so sin couldn't happen. In South African gold mines, in order to get the gold to where they wanted to be, it has to take them through various stages whereby the gold was repeatedly refined, put into crucibles, heated into molten states, the dross skimmed off the top, and at the last, the refiner was satisfied. The gold was pure.
Yes.
But there was still one more step. Before it could be stamped with the official seal, it had to go to the assayer. He too put the gold into the crucible and heated it to its melting point. But that's not for further refining of the gold. His crucible is not to see if it has any impurities to be removed. His crucible and his fire are to demonstrate that the gold is indeed pure.
Yes.
The temptation of the Lord Jesus were not intended to see if he could sin. The temptations were simply to demonstrate him sinless. Yes. To show that he was pure.
Yes.
Yeah, that word tempted, it just means to be tried or to be tested. He was tested to see whether sin as to its origin and process and results had anything in him. Mm-hmm. Sin did not attract him. Rather, sin repelled him.
Come on.
Yeah, so he knows our nature, but he also knows our needs. Look at the text, I'm through. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yeah, let me say it again. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In Old Testament times, the ordinary Israelite could not approach the Holy of Holies, where God was said to be enthroned. For that was the sole annual prerogative of the high priest. But we can approach the throne of grace at any time. As often as we want to, whenever we need to, knowing that our needs are fully known to our priest and will be met with mercy and grace. Y'all don't know when to shout.
Come on now.
He says that we are free to show up around the throne of God with whatever we need. You know how some of y'all say, y'all can come. Don't come here bringing no bunch of foolishness. Don't come acting crazy. He says, come with all your craziness and come to me, that you can get the very help that you need.
Come on.
Yeah. Come, because I'm going to help you with mercy and with grace. Because the way some of you show up, you deserve to be.
What God?
But his mercy, sir. Come on, God. His mercy gives way to his grace.
Yes.
That favor can fall on you.
Come on, man.
Just like you are.
Yes.
Look at it. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care what you've done in between. I don't care your thoughts or your feelings or what other people say. The scripture says you can come boldly to the throne of grace to get what you need. Watch this. Before he says you can come, he already acknowledges he knows who you are. He knows your frailties. He knows your impurities. He knows your mess afar off. And then he says, come. Therefore, because you are the way you are, come boldly. Watch it. He says boldly. Come boldly. Not to the gate. Come boldly. Not down the hall. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. What a great God we serve.
Yes.
Who, knowing how jacked up and torn up we are, invites us to come. Not with your head hung down. Come boldly to get all the help that you need. He is our great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. That's our constant help. Did you hear me? Your constant help. So many times somebody might help you today, but they won't help you tomorrow. Somebody will talk them out of you helping them again. But Jesus, the Son of God, is our constant help. And for us to be able to live a consistent Christian life, he says we are able to do so because of Jesus, the Son of God.
Yes.
And when you get weak, and you get weary, when you're struggling and you can't seem to get back up, remember the name Jesus, Son of God. Remember, he knows your nature already before you open your mouth. And he will provide for your needs. Glory to God. All because you know the name. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I thank him today because he is still able to look beyond faults and see needs. If I didn't know that, I would be hesitant to go before him. But I go there because I know he's already looked beyond them. As I repent and give myself over to him, he's already cleaned me up. He's cleaning me up. Remember the lepers? It was 10 of them. The text says, as they left, they were healed. As you come to Jesus, you are delivered. You are saved. You are set free. It's all of your coming to Jesus, the Son of God. You ought to give yourself fully to him. And be consistent 2022 with your walk with him. And every time you struggle, call the name of Jesus, Son of God, that he might put you right back on track and give you everything that you need to go just a little while longer. That is the God
we serve.
Amen.
Our constant help, his darling son, Jesus. Amen.